Blog Talk Radio.
There's no reason for you to find fault in me. There's no reason for me to find fault in you. And none of us are perfect, but we are as perfect as we were created. After all, we feel the same sun, breathe the same air, live on the same earth, and under the same sky. So let's just get it right now. Cause you have a soul like I do, so I have no right to judge you. Cause the minute I do is a reflection of how I feel about me.
Difficulties getting in here this evening, and I'm doing one of the worst cardinal sins right now in using a landline. I mean, using a cell phone. My landline is really tripping, and I'm hoping that we're going to get a clear signal and that the show turns out good. I'm just going to put it in the hands of the universe and hope that it comes out like it should. Again, how you doing, family? It's been such a long time. I'm so glad I got a chance to have a chat with y'all this evening. And welcome. Welcome to another installment of To Liberate with your host, Khadijah, your minister of soul. I'm glad that you're out there. Tonight, we're going to be talking about something that's real, real taboo in the black community. So I really, really hope that you guys will join us. If you got any questions or any kind of comments, give us a call. And the number here to call in, 310-982-4136. Again, that number is 310-982-4136. So again, we're glad to see you out there this evening. I'm expecting a few calls in this evening, especially one from a co-host and hope they'll be joining me at some point today from the 414 area code, and we can get some dialogue going. Again, I'm hoping everything turns out okay because of the technical difficulties that we had coming in. I don't know. It's just best to do these shows with a landline, as you can see, because sometimes you know, you might drop a call and you really want something that's stable. But again, tonight we're going to be talking about something that's real taboo in the Black community, and that's mental health. Yeah, that's right. I said it. Mental health, mental illness, behavior management or mismanagement, whatever you want to call, whatever your preference is. I think it's really important that we really start talking about, our mental state. Actually, I see the 414 area code. I got to make sure if this is my co-host out here.
Hello.
Hey, 414 area code. You out there? Hey, Maddie,
yes.
Is that you? How you doing this evening?
Yes, it's me. I'm doing okay.
That's great.
I'm glad
great.
To hear that someone is bringing mental health topic up because it's a serious problem out there that we as Black Americans deal with and other. Mental health have no color to it, but I think a lot of it stems from growing up in poor condition and being abused by parents that know no better. They thought they was doing the right thing.
Okay.
When I was a child, I got a lot of beatings with switches. I call them limb. My mom called them switches. And ironing cords and extension cords, rooms, whatever
strap,
you
razor
get.
Strap. You know, some of that stuff that they said we got whoopings with a long time ago, you know, today it would be severe child abuse and our parents would be facing criminal time in jail. You realize that. you know what I mean?
That's true. And a lot of people are doing it because this is how they was raised, you know. I can remember maybe striking my kid at a time that was not appropriate. And that do lead to relationships as well, getting into a relationship with abusive partners because you feel like this is the norm.
That's right. Okay.
And alcohol as well as drugs and the personality moods disorder they call plays a big role into domestic violence as well as child abuse.
A lot of times,
women.
I mean, I agree. I just thought about something you just said in terms of childhood, because most of the things that, you know, the traumas that we experience from childhood, we can either, as we advance and grow into our adulthood, either we sometimes take on the same nature as the abuser whether we do it consciously or unconsciously, we become the abuser to someone else, or either we take the position in the relationship as the little child that, or the person that was getting beat up, whether it's through a lover or, we take that role. So when you say things like the childhood has such a bearing on how we receive information, that is so true. Sexual trauma being another one that causes a lot of shutdown in your later years. I was looking at the DSM, what they call the Bible of Mental Illnesses, of course, and it's called the DSM Manual. Of course, actually, you can get it at any checkout counter at most of the grocery stores and stuff. A lot of people don't even get those books, like or the P.O. books.
And their name of it?
Mm-hmm. And they're very inexpensive, but you can see what actually sometimes what, you know, that's how you, a lot of ways you can stay on top of what their diagnosis or what their, you know, standard is for keeping a pulse on your mental illness. Because I was looking at schizophrenia, for instance, and there are so many people walking around in our community because schizophrenia is one of the most debilitating mental illnesses known. I mean, it's characterized by, like, people have disruptive thinking, delusions, and hallucinations. Okay. Now, when speaking on that, there is a lot of that in our community. And when you start saying, how are we going to address that? Well, that's a mental disorder, and we have severe emotional problems as well. And some people just lump them all together. But it's a difference. And sometimes it's like, how can you treat somebody if you don't really take the time to really deal with what they're experiencing, whether it's a mental diagnosis or a severe emotional? Because each one of them have different, you know, ramifications behind it. Would you agree with what I'm saying?
That,
I mean, you,
that is very true, because I can go back and recall at age 16, due to the abuse and the hard labor and the free labor and the white people's LA school, the black people's LA school, in our book being all pictures with white people sitting in a house, everything. That was very disturbing to me, and I couldn't question about it because you got a whooping if you did. Along with all of that, it did cause some mental damage to me, like dyslexia that I find out later, but I was not treated for that. For many years, I was treated for depression. So we have a system that creates the names they give us.
Hello.
And also
control
us with the medication they give us, because most of the time we are treated undiagnosed. You know, for many years, I had a learning, writing, reading problem, and I had to learn how to teach myself how to come out of that as years went on. But I did a lot of damage to myself as well and others. Because when you don't know what's going on and they are pilling you up, and now you want the drug of your choice to make you feel like you want to feel and not like someone else wants you to feel.
Want you to feel, absolutely.
So I agree with that so much. So today I feel with all of the names like bipolar, schizophrenia, manic depression, and you can go on with them, the name they have given. If there is no one to do assessment to see the behavior of these people, a person, then how can you diagnose to what they have? You know, most of this is a learned behavior, and we have nothing to help the people unlearn the behavior. We just have medication to control their mind and how they have to alter their thinking. So it's a really complex.
You know, that's interesting that you said that. You know,
that
and
we have.
Okay.
See, and I just feel that I just feel like it's a man-made thing more than
Say what you said again in terms of the message. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, because I'm
I just feel like we have
to. Yeah, I'm on a cell phone, and which is not a good thing to be on. But my landline, I was just explaining to the audience, I see we got another caller out there from the 316 area code. I'm glad they're out there. I don't think they want to make a comment right now. Maybe they just want to listen to us. But I'm glad you're out there. So keep listening. Again, if you want to call us, we're at 310-982-4136. Again, that number is 310-982-4186. I'm talking with my guest, Maddie Brown, and we're just talking about schizophrenia and other mental illnesses and personality disorders or behavior disorders and not just as a community at large, but specifically in the Black community. She was also sharing with us some of the things that she has grown up with as childhood, which a lot of us in the African American community have grew up a lot of the ways that Ms. Brown is talking about right now. So we would like for you to stay out there. If you want to make a comment, feel free to do it, and we'll put you right in and let you do that. Thank you, Maddie. I'm sorry I had to give a little disclaimer, let everybody know that we out here and we recognize them for being there.
Yes, yes.
But, so when you speak about growing up, when you speak about, do you really think that a lot of the way you grew up and a lot of us grew up in general have a lot to do with how we see our lives as adults?
Yes, yes. Because I feel, my proof, in fact, is with your daughter and others like you as a mother. If you're able to bond with your child at birth and carry your child at 9 months with less stressors and bond with your child and show love more than anger, then you're 9 out of 10 have a child that will grow up and be very productive, can take care of themselves. But if a child grow up under pressure of abuse, hard labor, not enough food, condition very poor, they grow up disturbed mainly most of their lives because it's hard to believe there's another life out there.
Okay.
You have struggled most of your time with these type of things. And believe it or not, we are not aware of it because most of this that I'm talking about is brought up on ourselves, the decision we make.
Now, that's a whole different other can of worms. Yeah, absolutely.
So
I
you're
agree.
So right about, you know, you're so right mm-hmm. about, you know, for an example, you would take a person that is a thief. I mean, born thief. Good one. But they would sit up and talk about another person so badly. If they are thief, that person is a thief. So we have a lot of unawareness to our behavior.
Yeah.
Why it hasn't gotten better.
Mm-hmm. You know what? That's a, you know what? And that's a, that's that leads me to my next segment, because what we just spoke about a minute ago is people, we kind of lump everything together. And when we talk about behavior management, not only do we have mental issues, because the body is broken down in different parts. I mean, it's broken up. You have a mental self. You have an emotional self. You have a physical self, and then you have a spiritual self. So each one of these components have to be in balance in order to make a balanced human being. So there's also when we mental illness, that's maybe some stuff like you just said that maybe you can take medication for, but you have some people and you have some kind of disorders that I don't know that it's a fancy name for making calling somebody an asshole, but you have some people out here who have their personality. And it's not the kind of disorder that you can get some medicine for. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know if there's quite a way that you can actually help these people with medication, because basically it's like that their character is what is in question here. And I was looking in that DSM manual, and when they start talking about the personality disorders, they break it up into three clusters. They break it up like cluster A is odd or eccentric behavior. Cluster B is dramatic, emotional, or erratic behavior. And cluster C is anxious and fearful behavior, okay? So these are different types of personality disorder. They got to fall up under one of these clusters. Now check this out. Cluster A is like schizoid personality or paranoid person, or
like,
and then
okay.
you got
That's called false on schizophrenia.
Okay. Paranoid personality. This person, they may, you know, there's like, they do more emotional stuff. Okay, I'm going to give you an example. They have a bunch of examples here, so I hate to kind of go by these things verbatim because sometimes you just got to, you know, all these label things get on my damn nerves. But still, this is how they judge stuff, and I'm just trying to stay in line with something to give us a gauge point. Okay, cluster A, they have three particular personality disorders, which is different than mental disorders. Okay, it's a person, it's a behavior. So it said that these people are introverted, and I'm sure some of us are have a little bit of this in us as people anyway, I would assume. And I guess that the way they're judging this is if a person is like this, like 98%
well,
of the time.
Well, that's why I say it falls on that. It really falls on that schizophrenia, because what you would say an introvert, my grandson is an introvert, like he stays to himself.
Okay.
You know, like, and okay. He is paranoid.
Okay, okay.
So
that would come
that
under
that. That is true to that. Yeah.
And, well, then they have a cluster
and
B.
And we have delusions.
Oh, he has delusions as well?
Hallucinations and voices.
Ooh. And so, and does that, is there violence that come along with that? There's violence that come along with that as well?
Like what?
I'm asking you, I'm saying, is there violence that come along with that? You know, does he have a bad temper or, you know, get agitated very easy?
Yeah, he don't, due to the voice, he is not able to understand what you're saying. He's always on the defensive side. He don't even like for you to interrupt those voices.
Mm.
You know, when you're trying to talk to him, he gets very agitated.
Okay. Hmm. See, and then you can have somebody at the total end of the spectrum, like you remember Mr. Ken that we knew, who ended up being a stalker that went to California to stalk Johnny Carson.
No, he's not.
And
no.
In fact, he was diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic, delusions of grandeur, which meaning he thinks that he's much more special than anybody on the planet, and he has these special powers that he can rule the world. And that everybody owes him money. And that's why he thus went all the way to California. And Johnny Carson actually saw the man in his backyard. He was in the garden with his wife. He looked up and saw a big black man in his backyard. Because they can be so obsessed and determined to get to what they're doing that it's hard for the people to even explain the unexplainable. It's like, how did you even find a guy's address? How did you get me past his personal guard? A lot of your
stalkers.
Because
they have a very high IQ in doing that. Like my grandson thing.
Or they may never sleep. Or they can be manic and they never sleep. And they can be up for days and days and days. And I guess you will figure something out if you're up that long.
Well,
you know
what
I mean?
If you have a sleep disorder, like he sleeps during the day, a few hours during the day, but he's up all evening, all night long. And sometimes his sleep come to what I would say normal, where you go to bed at 10, 11 o'clock, and you get up in the morning. That's very rarely. It stays there. It'll happen for a few days, but it goes back to that night, wondering,
goes back to that
night. Watching. Yeah, he thinks he's Jay-Z, and Jay-Z have sold his identity, and, you know, it's Jay-Z, Biggie, Tupac, all of the rap stuff. So, you know,
that is kind of delusional. That's delusions of grandeur right there, because all the people that he's involved with are actually people from show business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
And that's what Mr. Ken was experiencing, yes, just on a different level.
Right.
You know, because all his friends,
he
named James Kennedy and Patti LaBelle, Johnny Carson, all these people owed him money. So they were all Diana Ross, for instance, you know. So they can't never have, like, normal friends. They have to have friends that are really, really up in high places, should I say.
Right, exactly. And, like, he doesn't do Facebook. He do Twitter. You know, and it's most of the ones that he tweet is celebrity.
Okay. Okay, I got you.
But he can turn, you know, what he is obsessed with, if he ain't got it, like I had the internet turned off because I never could use the phone. Well, he'll go to something else. Like, he likes to go and listen to his rap music and page, or he will go on the internet. He get really deep.
And do you kind of stop him from getting, I mean, do you have to kind of minimize it so he won't get obsessed with things, or does he get obsessed with things if he, you know, like to do them over and over again? Okay. That's part of the behavior as well,
I think. He likes to watch movies over and over and over again. And he was doing that when he was a kid. So all of the evidence was right there for his mother to have seeked help for him when he was a child. But due to the fact she has a mental problem, and it's genetic because his behavior is so similar to her behavior. And his father's behavior is on that on that temperament thing, you know, abusive. You know, he had seen his father beat up his girlfriend. And, you know, most of the stuff he does.
So did he experience a lot of
abuse?
He did experience a lot of abuse, is what you're saying. I'm trying to, I couldn't hear you very well.
Yes,
I got the cell phone.
He did.
Okay.
He did when he was a baby, when he was a infant throughout toddler and throughout, up until he was 16.
And see, it's just what you said. It's generational. You see how you just said it's generational and how we like the life.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we pass it on, sometimes even consciously or unconsciously.
Well, white people don't want to, they don't want to acknowledge that we have anything that have to do with humanity. So they are out here controlling everything. And the dumb black person, to me, is not doing enough to come into the, you know, the inner city, which Jesus says, you know, the poor is the most important ones. That nobody seemed to come down here and want to teach him, you know. Stuff. Everybody come down here and use us. We are modern-day slavery.
That's absolutely, I have to agree. I mean, that's what you're right. Nobody wants to really attack, you know, what really the problem is. And so if you can sell us Jesus, that'll make everything better. But, you know, that's the void of the, you know.
You know, he
law
doesn't
of the land,
even understand.
But, you
yes,
know, as I was going back to that. Excuse me, go ahead. Say it again. No, finish your thought. I didn't hear you. Finish that.
Everybody in this family is very dysfunctional and have some type of mental disorder. And it's not a mental thing. It's a behavior. It's a mental behavior problem. It's what you grew up with and your surrounding.
Mm-hmm.
If you think ignorant and be around ignorant people, which ignorant means you don't know and you're not going to take the time to learn it, you know. And when you grow up in this and someone else have these issues, you cannot seem to communicate because everybody have their own delusions or way of thinking. And so it just make it hard. Like no one have anything to do with my grandson. Mm-hmm. I'm the only person in the family that does. So that got to make them bad as well. And they don't
that's
have anything
very interesting.
To do with them because of their mental illness, though.
Okay.
They don't know how to deal with their own problems. So, you know, if I have a problem, it's hard.
Makes it difficult to deal with somebody else's. If you got, you know, I was looking at this, then he had the cluster B. And I said, okay, well, you just mentioned the schizoid, but I look up, I was looking up under this cluster B. Then you have antisocial personality disorder. It says people with antisocial personality disorder characteristically act out their conflicts and ignore normal rules of social behavior. These individuals are impulsive, irresponsible, and callous. Typically, the antisocial person has a history of legal difficulties, belligerent, and irresponsible behavior. aggressive, and even violent relationships. They show no respect for other people and feel no remorse about the effects of their behavior on others. People with this disorder yes. are at high risk of substance abuse, especially alcoholism, since it helps them to relieve their tension, irritability, and boredom. Now, that is very interesting.
Bipolar people deal with antisocial. They have to have a group of people that they can feel comfortable with.
Okay.
You know, because
okay.
they like
with.
To boast and brag. Yeah, they like to boast and brag. They take over. They are talkers. They take over, dominate the whole conversation. This all the attention has to be centered on them. So
wow.
Most of them. So most antisocial. My oldest daughter, you know, Cookie, she would fall under that antisocial. You know, she
okay.
hasn't been back to Milwaukee since she, I think, twice short visit since she left. Because it's a certain, it's certain people, she picks some people that she be with, you know. And she doesn't do family gatherings.
Mm-hmm.
And she does do stuff.
I just kind of see, I'm kind of gathering a string of here of what you're saying about, you know, some of this stuff, you know, when we really think about it, we have to really go with our own lives because this stuff is so, multiple families are dysfunctional and most of the stuff we pass on to each other. So we really, really have to be really protective of our mental health. We have to really take care of our mental health like we do our physical health. You know, and with
well,
that.
Mental health
you know,
is a bad thing, you know. Because you must think about, it was the ignorant white man that imposed this disease upon us anyway, our ancestors, through the beating and the maltreatment and, you know, the hanging and all that kind of stuff. And forcing the black man to rape the young white, the young black girl, like, you know, she wasn't even an animal. Or she
mm-hmm.
wasn't even
mm-hmm.
a nobody and stuff.
Well,
if you look at our history, you would see why we do suffer with, you know, half of us out here.
I must admit, we coming up on a break. But I must admit, we can't be normal with all the stuff that has happened to us as a collective group of people. We can't be. We can't be, you know, and that's one thing. Another thing nobody wants to examine. But before we go into the last few things in a few minutes of the show while we got a few more minutes left here. I'm going to go to break because we're coming up on break time. Again, I see y'all
okay.
out there. Y'all can feel free. I guess y'all just listening out there. I see you too in the 312 area code. How you doing out there? And 219. I want to thank y'all for being here listening to us. And what we're talking about this evening is mental illness in the black community. I have a guest, Ms. Maddie Brown, and we're just chopping it up a little bit. Y'all want to join us again, the number is 310-982-4136. Again, that number is 310-982-4136. We're going to go to a quick tune right now. This is a song that we did with Seb, I believe it's called Just Be. I want to thank Ben for helping me out with this, and I'm going to play this right now and we take a little quick intermission.
There's no reason for you to find fault in me. There's no reason for me to find fault in you. And none of us are perfect, but we are as perfect as we were created. After all, we feel the same sun, breathe the same air, live on the same earth, and under the same sky. So let's just get it right now. That you have a soul like I do, so I have no right to judge you. But the minute I do is a reflection of how I feel about me. We can't. was created. Let's stop looking at races, classes, and faces, share the same spaces. We might as well get it right now. Cause they're not a part of a religion.
Hey, fam, and we are back. Thank you for listening. We are back. Yes, you are listening to To Liberate. And our guest is Miss Maddie Brown. I want to thank Seb also for helping me with that rendition of Just Be. If you want to purchase that, you know, you can always go to clickbook.com and give it a put in Just Be, Minister of Soul, and you can purchase that right there. And I would be very appreciative, okay? In the meantime, we are having a very serious discussion about mental illness, family members, and hereditary and dysfunction and ancestral, and just how much this all plays into the position that we find ourselves in today. We were talking about schizophrenia a little bit and the clusters of personality disorders. It got to something they call borderline personality disorder. That one I am very familiar with. People with borderline personality disorder are unstable in several areas, including interpersonal relationships, behavior, mood, and self-image. Abrupt and extreme mood changes, stormy interpersonal relationships, and unstable fluctuating self-image, unpredictable and self-destructive actions characterize the person with borderline personality disorder. These individuals generally have a great difficulties with their own sense of identity. They often experience the world in extreme, either viewing people are all good or all bad. There's no gray areas with these people. I am very familiar with this because I have a partner that was diagnosed with, and it usually comes in conjunction with other disorders. And, of course, you have to have some bit of codependency to even deal with it, or to some degree, because some people longer than others, especially if you stay in it a long time. But these people have a real uncanny way of drawing you into their madness. And it's almost as if being addicted to a drug, because they suck you in with a sympathy. And most people who have compassion for humanity want to, you know, help someone. So when you find a person that is actually a human predator that will actually play off of your compassion, then you're dealing with a person that is really kind of diabolical, because that's the kind of sickness that I don't really think that you have medicine for. It's just like a real bad character type of person, and you really sometimes don't see it until you've already been sucked in. They're the kind of people that usually stalk people in relationships once they're over, or, you know, when you break up with them, they usually hack into your accounts or call the police, make false allegations against people. In fact, there's a movie, two movies, I believe, were made depicting this particular disease or disorder, whatever you want to call it. And I think one of them was that Martin movie. Remember that Martin movie? It was called Thin Line Between Love and Hate, where the lady punched herself and scratched herself and then told the people, the police, that Martin did it.
Yes.
Or the next one was a Fatal Attraction, how this woman was so beautiful and seductive, and she was so beautiful. But as soon as the man told her that he didn't want to see her no more, because, of course, she knew he was married and they were having an affair, of course he was wrong for doing it, she was wrong, but he wanted to move on and stop it. And one thing about the people with this particular disorder, once you say no to them, they split you. It's called splitting, either because don't forget there's no gray area with them. So if you tell them no, then you have they can go from loving you to hating you all in a matter of a nanosecond, because there's no gray area. No means you've totally rejected them, and then they begin to hate you. So just as in that movie, when Michael Douglas said he didn't want to sleep with the lady no more, the bitch went crazy. She began to stalk him and, you know, kept coming. Now she's crazy just because, but she knew all this stuff in the beginning. So people with this disorder, that if you, it's not the kind of crazy that it gets you into maybe a hospital, but it's much more dangerous because it harms the people that had a relationship with them more than them. You become a victim of being in a relationship with these people. Once you want to break off with them, they start stalking you, or either they threaten to commit suicide, you know, and they start doing a lot of things that are totally over the top. And they have a severe fear of abandonment. A lot of them self-mutilate. They have real impulsive actions, chronic feelings of boredom or emptiness, and the anger is totally inappropriate. I mean, to the degree like, and
I have a relationship like that.
Oh wow! Okay.
Alcoholic, and the most beautiful person you could meet when he's not drinking. The most kind person you want to know when he's not drinking, but that personality of anger. And like you say, can love you to death, like give me all kinds of flowers on special occasion like Valentine, you know, and gifts and stuff. But there's that time when he can't have his way, like with the drinking, it's a no-no. Then that's how he feels. He felt a strong hate against me, and if I try and put him out, then I have problems. Like, maybe he will break the windows.
Like going to a rage, maybe? Because I experienced severe rage where the person would throw stuff and break
behavior.
Stuff. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, my grandson does that, too. Because he broke the glass in my china cabinet, and there's a hole in the wall. Yeah.
Have
so,
you ever had both
no.
of them in the same house together at the same time?
I have both of them in the same house right now.
Wow. And that's what
and
I'm saying.
And I'm trying to get
anytime
both of them
you're dealing
out of
with anybody. Excuse me, I'm sorry. I wasn't meaning to cut you off, but I would say anytime that you're dealing with anybody, and anybody knows that, for y'all out there, the listening audience, y'all know that anytime you're dealing with anybody with any kind of disease, sickness, mental illness, it doesn't matter. A depression, it's very difficult. It's just living in the house with somebody, and it's very. So now, can you imagine if you're dealing with schizophrenia or personality disorder and mental disorders, and so the person has to really, really learn social and protective skills in order to keep some type of normalcy, I'm assuming. Because there can be a very volatile environment when you have two dynamic personalities like this and behaviors like this that you never know what might pop their asses off, you know? And so,
and it's triple danger when the person is the caregiver like myself to suffer from some of these things that I have learned to control to some degree, you know, but there's no guarantee that I won't snap either, you know. And it's
right.
Not good to have people surround you if you're dealing with the, one of these disorders.
That's true.
You know, where I have control minds with them around me, it's going to flare it up. So that's make it even harder.
And that's why it's real important that when we're dealing, and I know for myself that once I got out of this destructive relationship, which I thought was so narcissistic, it was so toxic, that I felt that either I was going to die or I was going to be a shell of myself. And I think I got more life behind me than I got in front of me. So if I won't plan the rest to live the rest of my days different than I lived the first 55 of them, and I made that commitment to myself. So if that meant that I was going to be, if I want a different result, then I have to really be clear about my boundaries. I have to be, because I had to ask myself, what is my aha moment? In other words, what is the deal breaker for me? And once I began to challenge myself with that, I said, you know, because some people, everybody got a different tolerance level, what they'll take. You know, what might be good for me, you know, you might wouldn't take. And then what you might take, I wouldn't say. So everybody, but you have to have a deal breaker. Otherwise, you're not taking care of yourself. Everybody have to have something in you. And this is for y'all out there that might be in an abusive relationship or somebody not treating you right, or you in a situation where you don't know what the hell to do. I can just tell you this. You have to have some kind of boundary where you say this is a deal breaker. Okay, now for me, it may be, you know, if you threaten to call the police on me, that could be a deal breaker for me. Okay, because I'm like, you know what I'm saying? If you know what happens when as a black person, when you call the law and a person has not done anything to you, and then you have a person that likes to make up and be a drama king or a queen or whatever, then, and I'm going to call the police just to get attention, then that's it. I'm done. Okay, now, that might be fine for somebody else, because they might figure, well, as long as I didn't do anything, I ain't worried about it. No, I don't want that kind of shit in my life. No, you know, so certain things are deal breakers for me. Everybody need to find that out for themselves. That's the first thing that will make you more healthier. And then you got to realize that this ship don't move without you being healthy, you know, and that you owe a commitment to yourself to have a quality life. And you have a right to be honored. Nobody has the right to dishonor you and abuse you. And even if it's because I feel bad that some of these people have such a bad childhood that, you know, it makes their interpersonal relationships not the best. Because I have to work on myself, because it ain't like I fell from heaven nowhere. So I work on these things, too, because of the problems I might have experienced in my childhood. But nobody has the right to hurt anybody on purpose and then keep coming back and saying, I'm sorry, and keep doing the same shit. Because that means you're insane. Yes. You keep doing the same shit over
That's
and over
true.
Again, expecting something to be different.
But again, this is the genetic I talked about in passed down generation.
Mm-hmm.
It's my friend that I'm talking about come from a mom and daddy of 12 of them and 6 sisters and 6 brothers. And the dad was very abusive, violent to the mom. The mama was very violent to the girls because I don't think she wanted to trust the boys trying to do that. So then the alcoholism and stuff, you know, so he grew up with that kind of stuff. You know, all 6 brothers are alcoholics and dealing with some type of mental disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, It's hard to find someone out here that is free of it if you're black. And it's hard to find someone if you're white, because if
that's
someone
true.
Imposed it on you, and a white person, and some white person didn't like it, that have effect on them too, because you see mental illness, it's like a cancer. It have no color to it and have no race to it. It's almost what you do to me is be done to you. So we are
It seems like we're talking about young people. Our young people are so young that we're talking about with the challenges, mental challenges. And I guess that's when you start to see it, though, when they're young. I guess that's when it really start coming out.
They're making more money than their parents made, some of them, They're getting jobs. It's almost do-nothing jobs, And all of this bright light, mixed city stuff is almost like a person been in the backwoods all their life, and now they have opportunity to come to a city with bright lights. So now you can't tell them anything because they can see where before they couldn't, but they are not looking in the right path, in the right direction.
Wow.
They have become for themselves.
That's true. Well, you know what, man? You've been such a valuable, give us some valuable information, especially what you've been through and, dealing with these, with a personality or mental disorders. So, I want to give you a minute to make a closing statement. And what kind of encouragement would you give somebody out there that's dealing with a family member that, is having these challenges and they're trying to deal with the struggle of having the person in their home? Or what would you have to say to that person out there?
Get all the information you can on their behavior, because you are the one that sees this behavior on a daily basis. So get all the information you can and look for the right help out there, because it's so many agencies out there that's not represent what they say. So that's the hard thing, is finding someone. And I would say, if you could, get evidence of their behavior so you'll be able to show it. And I think that will help a lot. That's what now I'm going through.
Are there a lot of agencies out there willing to help people that have significant, or loved ones? I mean, because, everybody always says, just go to a therapist. But what if you got somebody with a severe, just a serious problem? Maybe they can't find the right therapist.
You must know a person behavior in order to diagnose them. I just feel like it's time for people, especially black people, is to get together and start having some group settings and invite and try and bring some of these young people around the table. Sometimes what really helped me is meeting up with people that understood me, knew what I had gone through. All the therapy and all the medication that I was given, that was just a band-aid.
Pain
from people I met with. And if you're a spiritual person, you can connect with another spiritual person.
Deep. Okay. I feel that. I felt that. That was very powerful, what you said. This has really been, and I'm sure, because I see three other callers out there. Well, they've been listening. I really want to thank y'all for being out there this evening. I guess that y'all was so interested in the conversation that y'all sat back and just had some popcorn and decided to listen. I really appreciate you being out there. Maybe next time you won't be so shy. But I also want to thank our co-hosts, Ms. Brown for coming and talking and opening and honestly sharing with us about some of the challenges that we got in this community, because y'all know I'm going to keep on dealing with this for a few more weeks, because once we begin to deal with this and be open and honest about what we're dealing with in our homes and with ourselves, maybe then we can begin to heal. Maybe then we can begin to come up with some solutions. Just talking to each other, maybe through the internet, even if we can't get together physically in the same space and time, we're gathering just like this, and we're getting information. Because just like tonight, I'm sure some of y'all are going to share what you learned and what you've heard tonight with somebody that you encounter tomorrow. So each one teach one, and I think that's always the best method. And I want to thank my guests for being with us tonight. And you think I can get you to come back again and share some more and keep some more knowledge with us?
Yes, yes, and thank you for having me.
Well, thank you, too. And you know what, y'all? I appreciate y'all being out there, and we're going to go out with our song. And guess what? We'll check you out next time on To Liberate. Y'all have a great evening. Be blessed. Ma'at Hotep.
Like an artist, I'm gonna be saying there ain't gonna be none. My daddy be saying there ain't gonna be none. Even some teachers did. I don't know this because I be playing and stuff, but I still know what I wanna do. I don't know if that mad stuff because they done achieve their goals and keep their hope alive. I just feel like they be putting it all on me. So much to do.
Take
a
hold and never let it.
Somebody need to tell somebody. that I shall rise, 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 and never fall, cause I've already reached the bottom, to the top, for hope, hope has brought me there. So inhale me deeply and breathe. You
hold your hope.
I am.